Romans 15, 1 through 7, the God of patience. How many of you have maybe struggled with patience? Well, the sermon title is The God of Patience, so maybe he can help us out with this. Over the past few weeks, going through the book of Romans, chapters 13 and 14. In Romans 13 and 14, we've seen the exhortation to love God, to love our neighbors as ourselves. The apostle here is teaching believers what the Christian life looks like. And let's face it, there are mature believers in the faith who have a lot of knowledge and understanding. And then there's people who maybe have a little less knowledge and understanding. There are some people who know the Word of God better than others. There are some people who apply the Word of God more consistently than others. So the Apostle Paul has been telling us that there are some who are weak in the faith, but those who are strong in the faith, what should they do? Well, they shouldn't become proud. They shouldn't become arrogant. Those who are strong in the faith, they shouldn't flaunt their liberty and freedom of conscience. Those who are strong in the faith, they shouldn't judge those who are weak. Those who are strong in the faith, they should help those who are weak and teach and encourage them. So last week we spoke, you'll remember, of the freedom that we have in Christ. And really, we are free in so many different ways. But we need to remember that just because we can do something, it doesn't always mean that we should do it. All things may be lawful for me, Paul said, but not all things are helpful. Not all things edify. So this is one of the ways that we love our neighbor as ourselves. We are considerate of them. We help them out. We bear one another's burdens. In chapter 15, we see the example that Christ left us. Jesus, obviously, he was stronger in faith and spirit than anyone else. We know that. He set the example for us to follow, because he didn't serve himself. He didn't come to serve himself, he came to serve. So let's start reading Romans 15, verses 1 through 7. It says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." So do you see the benefit there of being considerate to other people? The benefit of being patient with other people. And let's face it, that can be difficult. All right, we could tell by the question that I asked to start with. Being patient can be difficult. Being impatient can do what? It can tear people down. It can help bring more and more problems to the church. And we really need to be caring and in order to help build people up. And this strengthens the church. It helps unify the church. And the more God's people speak with one voice, the more unified we are, then the more effective we will be. Right? So, think about a church maybe where everybody is fighting. Maybe a couple people have experienced this. Maybe in the past, a church where people are fighting, and you've heard the stories about they argue over what color to paint the walls, and people divide over silly things, or people are trying to push their agenda. There's one faction who wants one thing, another faction that wants something else. You know, people will run each other down and sow seeds of discord. And then for 1 hour on Sunday morning, they all come together to worship God. And then when the hour is done, then they go right back to fighting. Now, how many of you think that that honors and glorifies Christ? See a raise of hand. I don't see any hands raised. So how many of you think that that can bring reproach upon the name of Christ? You remember back in Romans 2, Paul was speaking of Israel and their disobedience. And he said that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And that's really a scary thought, that because of our behavior, we can not only make ourselves look bad, we can make the Lord look bad. So how do we avoid all of that? Well, we simply follow Christ's example. Paul writes in verses 1 and 2. Take a look at it again. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor or his good, leading to edification. Now, I've titled the message, The God of Patience, and you see that term in verse 5. So would you say that God has been patient with you? You say, well, I've struggled with patience, but has God been patient with me? Okay, see, either God is patient with us or he's really impressed with us. Now, only a proud person would say, wow, God is really impressed with me. Look at all the things that I'm doing. There are people out there who probably think that, but it's the humble person who recognizes that, yes, God has been patient. He has been very patient. So when you're in a position of authority, sometimes you have to learn to be patient. Maybe, right? Maybe, not always. When you get married, you learn to be patient with one another. Hopefully, sometimes. When you have children, you need patience, you know, certainly. And you say, well, I was a child too. Just ask my dad. I'm sure he needed patience. So we all need patience. We need to learn patience. No comment. The fact is, God has been patient with us. We all recognize that he has been very patient with us. And if we ask him for patience, I believe he will give it to us. He will give it to us so that we can bear with the scruples of the weak. Now, what does that mean? The scruples of the weak. Well, those who are strong need to carry one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, and the word scruple basically means a weakness. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we want to be there for people, encourage them, help them along, help carry the weight. Do what you can to help. It's really easy to sort of see people's faults and failures and criticize. Listen, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. We want to say, how can I help? And then do what you can to help. And the idea here is more than just tolerating things. You know, sometimes we tolerate things because we feel like we have to or we should. But patience, I think it's more than that. Paul is saying that it's not that we're just putting up with people. The goal is to figure out, what would Jesus do? How can I help? So Paul says in verse 1 that our goal is not to just please ourselves. What would you call that if you're just in it to please yourself? Yeah, it would be called being selfish. So rather we should please our neighbor for their good, leading to edification, so they will be built up. Now, when it comes to unbelievers, listen, I think it's true. I think we have to acknowledge this. There are those situations where you try and try and try, and sometimes you just sort of have to shake the dust from your feet and move on. There's not much you can do. And then there are going to be those situations, as one person put it, there are some people that you just have to love from a distance. You know, you know what I mean by that. But we really ought to seek, how can we build up other people? So remember, Paul is writing to the church at Rome here, and the context is therefore the local church. These are the people that we see often, that we see and talk to and worship with on a regular basis. So there really needs to be this unity in the body of Christ. Sometimes people will obsess over all the problems that are out there in what is called the universal church. All of the issues going on in the church worldwide. And they'll lament all of the problems. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's not important. What I am saying is, let's face it, you're not going to be able to fix that. Because you, as an individual, you have little to no, if not zero, influence over the church worldwide. But you do have a say. You do have some influence here within the local church. So whatever say, whatever influence, whatever you can do for people in the local church or people that you know in the area that are Christians, do what you can to help out. Don't worry about some of the bigger problems that you can't really do much about anyways. Say, how can I help here and now with the people that I know? And if everybody did that, I think the bigger problems would what? They would solve themselves. So in verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So let's help people out, bear one another's burdens, be kind, patient, and forgiving. This is what Jesus did. So this is what we're supposed to do. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. This was the scripture reading this morning. And here Paul is making some similar statements to the church in Thessalonica. And we just want to go through these verses quickly to see what we can learn. And this is always what you should do. When reading the Bible, studying the Bible, what do? You compare scripture with scripture. And most of you have a Bible where in the margins there is cross-referencing. So that's always something to look at. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. You see that? Be patient with all. Someone came up to me after the sermon last week, and they said, you know, I really had a hard time with your message last week. This idea that I need to be patient and considerate with all these other people, I find that really difficult, they said. Now, I think they were joking, or at least half kidding, but it is hard, right? It is hard sometimes to be considerate and patient. I'm sure a couple of you could have come up to me and said that, and I agree. Now, of course, we should be patient, but that's why Paul had to write these things. He writes similar things to all the different churches because this is the common experience. Sometimes it's hard, and we should be able to acknowledge that. So the more you grow in the faith, and you know this is true, the more you grow, the more you learn, the more you grow in the Spirit, the easier it will become. Yeah, it takes time and it takes effort. But perhaps most importantly, we need to pray to God to give us the patience. Otherwise, it's just you yourself or me myself doing the best that I can. And if I do the best that I can, it's only going to go so far. Right? But when God the Holy Spirit changes the heart, then it starts to come natural. And of course, God gets all the glory for that. That's part of what it is to be a new creation in Christ. That old nature is less and less. The new nature is more and more. Look at verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And this is practically word for word with what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now, we talked about Bible memory last week, right? You want to learn a Bible verse? Hey, verse 16, rejoice always. There you go. You got it memorized. You know, it's just a little longer, a few more letters than Jesus wept. That's another popular one to memorize. Probably harder to learn or memorize the reference. But rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is the reliance that we have on God, to be consistently talking to him, talking with him. Pray without ceasing. and give thanks, he says, in everything. Now, how do you give thanks in everything? Well, because you know that God has a plan and God has a purpose. We don't always understand it, but we know that he has a plan. That's why it's called faith. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So last week we talked about our Christian liberty, those gray areas, right? There's the things that we know are right and wrong. And then there are those areas where we're not really sure or God has left us free. Well, how do we know that? We need to test all things against the scripture. Anytime you have a question in your mind, you go to what does the word of God say about this? And if it doesn't say anything, then you have liberty, you have freedom to do what you feel is right. But those things need to build people up. So we need to, again, be patient, be considerate. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So we don't know when Jesus is going to return, so that's why we need to be vigilant, we need to be ready, and we might have less time than we think. It's easy to sort of sit back and say, well, people have been saying this for a long, long time, and you know, I don't know, maybe it won't happen, or maybe I won't see it. You can't let that mindset sink in. It could happen, it could be right around the corner. So before we go back to Romans 15, turn to Psalm 69, Psalm chapter 69. Psalm 69 is where Paul is quoting from in Romans 15, verse 3, where he says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So throughout Romans, Paul is consistently quoting from the Old Testament. And that is very, very important to remember. You'll see that coming up. Basically, the Old Testament lays the foundation of the faith for the New Testament. The New Testament makes no sense without the Old Testament. Even the word new. Well, what is it? How is it new unless there was something that was old? And you know, those people who want to sort of get rid of or downplay the Old Testament, you have to realize that's like taking a book, reading a book and ripping out the first 200 pages of a 300-page book. You're not going to get the whole story. So Psalm 69, verses 5 through 9. David wrote, O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. And that lines up with what we are talking about, how our actions can actually be a hindrance to other people or bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. He says in verse 7, because for your sake I have born reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. See, David's brothers, they didn't understand. His friends and his family, they didn't understand this passion that he had for God. And he says in verse 9, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproached you have fallen on me. Can any of you relate to that, where some friends or family members, they just don't understand what this is, that you have a desire for God's word and you attend church or you have this faith in God and they just don't understand it? And sometimes that creates problems. But David speaks of the zeal for God and his house. And there will be those people, and we just have to expect it. There will be people who dislike us for the simple fact that we are Christians. And the more committed you are, the more opposition you can expect. So go back to Romans 15. And that may sound bleak, but you know, the more committed you are, yeah, the more opposition you'll receive, but the more blessings you will receive as well. Romans 15:3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So mankind, in his fallen nature, is at enmity with God. Mankind does not want God ruling over him. You know, some people will come right out and admit it, and they'll tell you straight up. And sometimes it's also there under the guise of atheism. I had somebody tell me, you know, atheists are convinced of two things. One, they're convinced that God does not exist. And number two, they know that they hate him. And, you know, well, how can you hate someone that doesn't exist? But it seems as though that's what some of them do. But just as David suffered at the hands of those who hated God, so did Jesus. So did Jesus. But he did it for your sake. He truly did bear our burdens. Isaiah 53:4 says, he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. So if Jesus sets the example by doing this for us, then what should we do? We should be willing to do this for other people. Speaking of Isaiah 53, many of you know this, that this is the clearest example, the clearest description of the gospel in all of the Old Testament. You say, Jesus isn't even mentioned in the Old Testament. Yeah, he is. The whole thing is about him. And I don't think there's any chapter where it's more clear than Isaiah chapter 53. The gospel is there. If you read it, you really can't miss it. So with that in mind, look at Romans 15:4. He says, for whatever things were written before, notice that, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So you remember I mentioned a moment ago how Paul is consistently quoting from the Old Testament to establish his teachings in the New Testament. And this is important because the New Testament, before it was written, what was the authority in the early church? Before they had this book, what was the authority in the early church? Well, it was the Old Testament scriptures, right? Along with the teachings of Jesus that at that point were not written down yet. So that was the authority. And Paul says in verse 4, whatever things were written before, clearly a reference to the Old Testament. And he says they were written for our learning. Our learning. Why is that significant? Because who is he writing to? What's the book? Romans. So he's writing to the church at Rome, which was mainly a Gentile church. So he's saying, essentially, telling Christians who are non-Jews, Gentile Christians, he's saying, the Old Testament, those are your scriptures too. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, why is this important? Because every once in a while, you might come across someone who says, no, those are the Hebrew scriptures. Well, of course they are. We understand that. But they're your scriptures too. There are some who would say, well, that's not for you. That is for them. Or they don't apply to you, and some things are not enforced. We understand that, I think. But don't let someone tell you that the Old Testament, well, those aren't your scriptures. They are our scriptures. So if someone comes along and says that, well, that's just the Old Testament. Forget that. It's not for you. Or, you know, God made a covenant with Israel and not the Gentiles. Or, you know, maybe they're special. You're not as special. You know what you call that? My dad used to use a word. He used to say, you know, that's a bunch of malarkey. And I was never really sure what malarkey meant. I just knew it wasn't good. But what is it? It's hogwash. It's nonsense. Okay, they are your scriptures too. As the hymn says, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. So who has ever been encouraged by reading the Old Testament? Yeah, if you're not reading the Old Testament, you're missing out on a blessing. How many of you have been comforted by reading the Psalms? How can you miss the Psalms? How can you ignore the Psalms? So these things, Paul says, were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And we will see next week, Lord willing, that God's plan for the Gentiles, God's love for the Gentiles was found all along, all through the Old Testament. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So where do we find our unity? Right? We want unity. We want to be together. We want to be more effective. Where do we find our unity? We find our unity in the truth. We find our unity in the scriptures. We find our unity, of course, in Christ, who is the Word of God made flesh. So the scriptures were written down so that we may know. Now, if the Bible is silent, as I said, if the Bible is silent in a certain area, then you have freedom. You have freedom. So as long as it edifies, as long as we are kind and patient to one another, as long as we're being considerate, even your freedom will help bring peace and unity to the church. I said at the beginning, the more we speak with one voice, the more united we are and the more effective we will be. And the more glory God will receive. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters most. That God is glorified. Nothing is more important than that. So the natural man in the fallen condition, right? And we could probably all say there's a part of this in all of us. The natural man, what matters most to him? Himself. Whatever I want. Whatever is going to bring me happiness. That's the way people are. And you know, the first sin ever committed, you say, well, the first sin ever committed was Adam and Eve in the garden. No, it wasn't. The first sin ever committed was when pride was found in the heart of Lucifer. He didn't want to bring God glory. He wanted the glory for himself. But God, through his plan of redemption, he determined to bring. This is why God created all. Why did God do all of this? Why did he create all of these things? For his own glory. And he has graciously offered you a part in that divine plan. So in conclusion, how do we bring glory to God? After all, we can't do the things that God can do. We don't know all the things that God knows. How do we bring glory to God? Well, I really believe there's one thing, maybe above all, that you are never more like God than when you forgive. That's something that you can do. You can forgive someone else. And of course, that is what God has done for us. So we're not always going to see eye to eye. We have differences of opinion. We all have different weaknesses. But to achieve that unity, what do we need? We need patience. We need to be mindful of other people, considerate. We need mercy and we need forgiveness. How do we do that? Verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this message of peace and patience and unity and harmony. And that's what I pray that you would create here at Moore's Corner Church. Lord, I've heard stories of situations where people argue, and in other churches they've had division, and we've had it here in the past. And Lord, we really need to be thankful, because when we look around, yeah, things aren't always perfect, or maybe we wish things were a little different, but we really do have a great peace and love for the brethren here at Moore's Corner. I just pray that you would protect that and build that in the hearts of each one. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.